Fellowship Church's devotional podcast, devoted to bringing you some spiritual truth to consider every day, Monday through Friday. Well, thank you for joining us. We're continuing through the book of Galatians, and we're picking up in Galatians chapter 4, starting in verse 8, which says, "Formerly, when you did not know God, you were enslaved to those that by nature are not God's. But now that you have come to know God, or rather, to be known by God, how can you turn back again to the weak and worthless elementary principles of the world, whose slave you want to be once more? You observe days and months and seasons and years. I am afraid I may have labored over you in vain. Brothers, I entreat you, become as I am, for I also have become as you are. You did me no wrong. You know it was because of a bodily ailment that I preached the gospel to you at first. And though my condition was a trial to you, you did not scorn or despise me, but received me as an angel of God, as Christ Jesus. What then has become of your blessedness? For I testify to you that, if possible, you would have gouged out your eyes and given them to me. Have I then become your enemy by telling you the truth? They make much of you, but for no good purpose. They want to shut you out that you may make much of them. It is always good to be made much of for a good purpose, and not only when I am present with you, my little children, for whom I again in the anguish of childbirth until Christ is formed in you, I wish I could be present with you now and change my tone, for I am perplexed about you." We're picking up our story of Paul writing the Galatians because they've been infiltrated by false teachers, trying to get these Gentile believers to take on the law. And Paul's continuing his argument, saying, having graduated, having gotten rid of the guardian, having gotten rid of the teacher that was the law, and now that you have received sonship in Christ Jesus, why would you want to go back again to that lesser state? It would be like a butterfly trying to crawl back into the cocoon so that it can become a caterpillar again. It has gone through the process of becoming the more complex, the more beautiful, the more mature life form, only to try to go back. This is what's happening here. And then Paul appeals to them to a story that we only know through this telling. We kind of have to reverse engineer what's going on here. But apparently, Paul was dealing with an illness. And it doesn't say here what it is, but we do have some clues. There is a theory that Paul had an issue with his eyes. He was blinded on the road to Damascus, right? He had scales on his eyes, and they fell off after he was treated in the book of Acts. But it is possible, just a theory, this is not scripture, that he continued to have issues with his eyes. At the end of this book, Paul's going to say, "See what large letters I write with my own hand." Maybe because he needed to write large letters to be able to see them. We know that Paul had a thorn in the flesh, and some people's theory is that it was, in fact, having issues with his eyes. So that being the case, it would make sense why it says that you would, if you could, have gouged out your eyes and given them to me. But what he's saying is that the Galatians genuinely cared for him during the time that he was preaching the gospel to them. He was admittedly a burden to them, but they showed love and consideration to him, and during which time he introduced them to Jesus. But now they are being led astray. There is a verse in Proverbs that says, "The one who states his case first seems right until the other comes and examines him." That is Proverbs 18:17. And it seems like that's what's going on here, that Paul presented his case and they trusted in the gospel. And now Paul says he's concerned that he may have labored over them in vain, that they have abandoned the gospel for this works-based religion, calling itself Christianity. What's going on here is that false teachers who made the Galatians feel good, who seemingly have puffed them up so that they might lead them astray. And this just gets to the need to discernment, to Christian discernment. There are going to be people who are teaching and have a ministry under the guise of Christianity, under the guise of being Jesus followers. But really their goal is to make much of themselves. And we must be ready to be aware of that, that we don't want to abandon the true gospel just because someone has, the silver tongue saying things that we like to hear or interesting teaching that tickles our mind or our ears or our hearts. Even believers can be led astray, as is the case to the Galatian church. What are some of the warning signs? Well, one of the warning signs is law. Right here, we're going backwards. We're going back to the faith that these people had beforehand, Paul says. There are Christian teachers that want to say that if you pray anything in faith, God says that he will give it to you. And so if you pray for something and God doesn't give it to you, then it's either that you didn't have enough faith or that you have sin in your life. That there could be no other reason that God might not answer a specific prayer that we have. Well, what does that lead to? Well, I'm praying for something and God doesn't give it to me. Well, then maybe what I need to be doing is giving more, serving more, trusting more. What's wrong with me that God is not answering my prayer request? Right? What does that lead to? It leads to making me feel better that I have this power, that anything I ask God, he'll give me. And then if anything's wrong, well, then I just need a little bit more law to make sure that God is obligated to give me what I need. This is real teaching under the guise of Christianity that we need to be aware of. This analogy has been given many times, and I may have said it as we've been going through Galatians. But when people are being trained in how to spot counterfeit currency, they don't train them in spotting all the different kinds of counterfeits there can be. They train them in what the real thing looks like. And that when you study the real dollar, the real coin, when you are so familiar with the genuine article, then when there's something that is false, you can spot it because you know what the real one should look like. We too, as believers, want to be so familiar with the Word of God, with true Christian doctrine about what the church, what God teaches in his word, that when someone brings things that sound appealing, that sound interesting, that touch us emotionally or intrigue us intellectually, we are ready to be on guard so that we can stand for truth and not be led astray. These believers had genuine love for Paul. And now one assumes genuine love for these new teachers, and it has led them astray. So we want to be lovers of God and of the truth first, so that we might stay true to walking in this better life. We want to be butterflies. We don't want to be caterpillars. And through Christ, through his love, we are set free to be just that. Lord, we thank you for the truth of your word. We thank you that you have, in the fullness of time, sent your son so that we might have life with you. We might be your sons and your daughters, that we might experience grace upon grace because we're walking in relationship with you. Help us not to be led astray. Help us to be so familiar with our Bibles that we are aware when someone is giving us a counterfeit. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, thanks for tuning into another edition of Let's Talk. Church family, you are loved. Have a blessed day.